Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe where too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that's a pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science very quickly. Yeah. We're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up, chlamydia.
Yep.
Okay? 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 chlamydia.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, everyone, welcome to That Riot Show. This is your host,
Big Bad John.
And Judah Larry M.
All right, and folks, you know what we're going to talk about. You know it's coming. You know we've been keeping this bottled up for the whole week. It's bing-bing! Yes, all right. Larry, we don't fuck around.
That's right. This is the most important part of the show, because talking about Trump and cunt and Clinton, I'm so annoyed already about that fucking debate. I can't even think straight.
So let's get this out of the way super fast, because as you can even tell, Larry had to write notes to remember all the shit that he
had. Look at it, on the back.
All right, here we go.
So much stupidity.
Let's get everyone going to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all things related to the riot. You can find past episodes, show synopses, Twitter feeds, everything. Go to thatriotshow.com, including past episodes, both video and audio podcasts. So check that out. When you get done with that, check us out on social media, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow, for all the latest and greatest there. Become a follower, a fan of the riot on Facebook.
A believer.
Yes. A believer.
A believer. Delicious. The Ontario cock. There you go. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's what the show has come to.
It's what women love.
Not Hillary.
It's like a lizard.
Oh, man. I got that one. You're funky, my sister.
All right. When you get done with Facebook, head on over to Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow. Follow all the hilarious barbs flying out of the riot's Twitter account.
Be a twit.
That's right. Be a tweet, a twit, a twat, whatever. Go to That Riot Show on Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow. And of course, you can always find us on all the great podcasting platforms. Phil, hit the Scroll Low podcast back there, please. Scroll Low podcast, iTunes, Mixcloud, TuneIn,
Spreaker,
podcast, all of them. I'm not even going to go through them. You saw them behind me. Wow. Make sure you check us there. Cloud something. Larry
something.
Knows. That's all the computer he knows, folks. Cloud.
I know that it's cloudy out. So.
There you go. Yeah. Actually, it's quite shitty here in New York.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So. Let's get right to it, and of course, we're talking about the debates.
The big debate.
So, Larry, of course, we both sat and watched the debates, like 83 million other Americans, I believe. Yeah. 81, 83 million, highest rated debates ever.
Sure, watched the Saints and the Falcons, but I watched the debate.
Yep. But Highest rated debate ever. Also, obviously missing our guy, Gary Johnson, who had his own Facebook counter-programming debate, right, which we'll talk about later because that was interesting in its own right, Larry.
I also read an article that Jill Stein was led away from the
debate.
She
tried to crash the debate at Hofstra by disguising herself as a hippie professor, which is what she is, basically.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah. So, and by the way, a little bit of thing I thought it was interesting. Hofstra, for the most part, even though it's in New York, it's in the suburb of New York, Long Island, where there's plenty of Drum Froop supporters out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was really a homer crowd for Drum. You might think, you know, you think New York City, which is the closest proximity, you might think that you might have a lot of Hillary supporters there, and I'm sure she had a couple. But very clearly a Trump crowd from what I can tell.
Yeah, if you go out there, a lot of the front lawns, they've got the Trump signs. Yep. There's some for Hillary, not too many. There were some for Bernie but when he was around. But, it's actually supportive of the ignorance. So that is Donald Trump.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to turn this over to Larry to drive because even though we both saw the debates, he was the only one who wasn't lazy enough to take notes.
Okay.
So, Larry, go ahead. What do you want to talk about first?
The first thing, which I thought was very funny, that made him very uncomfortable, was Lester Holt challenged him on the whole birther thing. That was funny to me because, you know, and Trump immediately tried to put it off, go that, and this was, you know, the fact checkers, which is not true. He tried to say that the Hillary people, like originally...
Sidney Blumenthal?
Yeah.
By the way, don't think that was in his way of blaming the Jews.
Everybody knows.
Sidney Blumenthal?
I watched the shows. So, well, watching the shows didn't get him out of this one. He didn't have the best words. He didn't have the best brain. He didn't have any of his usual. He fumbled through it. He tried to say that the Hillary people originally started the whole Kenya thing. And that was fact-checked. Not true. This is something that started... with a radical group of racist knuckleheads who didn't want Obama to be president. Right. And he picked it up. And then he stood there and incredulously took credit for making the president show up with his birth certificate, well, here it is.
Yeah, so on that point, you dove right into it. I maybe wouldn't have started with that. But you know what's interesting about the birther thing? I thought what was interesting was, first of all, like you said, just... in the face of everything. Now, you think he knew it was coming. You think some idiot in his campaign would have said, look, when they bring up the birther thing, just so you don't seem like even more of a racist than you really are, just say, I thought he was born in Kenya. I've been proven wrong. Let's move on. Right? He stuck to his guns in his own way. Even when Lester Holt said, okay, look, it's been 4 or 5 years since he showed that birth certificate. Why is it that you're just now, disavowing it?
Right.
And he said, no, I've disavowed it before, you know, whatever. And I think Lester Holt, what did Lester Holt say? He said something like, well, what would you say to the millions of African Americans about this and people of color? And I don't know how many people caught this, but because there was a lot of back and forth on the debate stage, he actually said, I say nothing to those people. like this imperial, let them eat cake type of thing, you know? And it was
no, that's good.
What a fucking asshole. You know, and I know the drunk rubes out there, and there's plenty of you, are going to write that off of, see? He's real, man. He talks from the heart. And he's unrepentant.
And he didn't back down. That's
the
thing.
He's tough. Listen, one of the greatest qualities a good man has is to know when he's wrong. A good man knows when he's wrong. A good man knows what his limitations are, okay? Trump is a fucking idiot, and he was wrong. He should have just said, look, I was wrong, you know, or let's move on.
I can't believe I'm going to actually give her a compliment here.
Yeah.
But when Hillary Clinton was brought up about the email thing, it came up, she went, you know what, that was a mistake. I made a mistake, and if I had to do it all over again, she goes, I would have done it differently, but I made a mistake. That's it. And now she's... It's dealt with, and then she was able to move on.
And every time Trump brought it up, she was able to disarm it by saying, "Yeah, I said I made a mistake."
Yeah, so that was actually very smart. That's what she didn't do for the past year.
Yeah,
that she made the snap check joke,
yeah,
and she denied it, and then she inaccurately said that Comey at the FBI said that what she did was okay when he didn't.
Right.
You know, like, in other words, this was the way to handle it. Why didn't he just come out and say, look, the whole thing is stupid. It's ridiculous. Obviously, he was born in Hawaii. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing to do with Kenya. It's just, you know, it's just a racist. And it was. It is for the people who are still clinging to it. It's just a racist way of delegitimizing the first African-American president. That's all it is. What?
Half
African. Oh, half. He's half a honky. I almost forgot. So actually, how come he's not supporting Trump?
Yeah.
But that's why it was done. It was just.
Obviously the birther thing was very clearly a racist response to the president. But here's the thing. So that was interesting, and to me, the fact that he was so defiant to those people, I say nothing. Then trying to shift the blame to Clinton, that it was Clinton, like. Why drag it out? Like, so to me, and let me back up half a step, Larry. To me, these debates had nothing to do with either one of these idiots convincing people who are already Democrats or Republicans.
Right. The people who are all in for these candidates, they're all in. They're not changing their mind. There's a very tiny amount of people out there who haven't really decided.
Yeah,
that's who you're fighting for right now.
Well, I was going to take a step back.
Okay.
I think that maybe there's 30% of the electorate that's undecided right now. And I'll tell you why.
30%?
Roughly.
Wow.
25 to 30%, and I'll tell you why. I'm not saying that those are independents who haven't made up their mind because of ideology. I think those are independents, or Democrats, or Republicans, who just are trying to figure out which one of these two is the lesser evil. Okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of them may be holding back on certain issues. For example, someone who otherwise might support Clinton is trying to figure out if she's going to drop dead or not because of the way she handled all her illness things. Maybe someone who's thinking of supporting Trump because he's a Republican, a disaffected Republican, and hates Hillary, maybe that Republican was waiting to see if Donald Trump could keep his temper in check for fucking 90 minutes. Okay? I think that's what these debates are going to affect.
Well, then the people like that, if you're right, the people like that did get their answer during the debate, because at one point, Trump said, I clearly have the better judgment, the better temperament. Everybody knows that. And even this crowd that seemed somewhat partisan went, ooh. There was like this groan from the audience about his temperament. And you saw her just standing over there with this big shit-eating grin on her face and everything. But that's, I don't know if it's 30%, but I do agree. There are people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have just made up their minds, and these debates are, I think you're fighting over a very small group of people, unless you think the Bernie people might stay at home. Maybe you steal some people back from Gary Johnson. I don't know. Jill Stein's still running at like 5%.
Yeah.
So I think by the end of these debates, whatever the percentage is, I think they'll have made up their minds.
Yeah, so, like, look, we were talking before the show.
Right.
For example, we know someone who half-heartedly was in for Trump. We said that. Like, he likes to get on Facebook and get under people's skin. But the truth of the matter was he was probably considered a typical Republican in the South. You know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And he would stir the pot by saying he supported Trump. But deep down, he knew it was a goof. He just hates Hillary. Right?
Right.
Like a lot of people. Like a lot of Republicans.
Even some Democrats.
Even some Democrats. But here's the thing. After the debate, he actually kind of sighed and went, yeah, that was horrible. Like, even for someone who was willing to hold his nose and vote for Trump because of Hillary, it was like, you know what? That was horrible. It was even horrible to his base. Why? He was the one who was sniffling throughout the thing, Larry. He's the one who looked sick or, like, was sniffing coke. And here's the thing.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I said he looked like he was sniffing coke.
Yeah, I know, but don't, because, what's his face? Howard Dean said that in a tweet. He goes, he's sniffling a lot, coke user. And he walked it back today and made a big apology.
That's Howard Dean's problem. I don't have to walk it back.
Yeah,
it looked like he sniffed cocaine. And by the way, that's a Trump tactic, by the way, okay?
Yeah.
Some people are saying, right? Some people are saying, not me, some people, right? But what I'm trying to get at is, if you're one of his supporters, he's the one who looked tired. About halfway through that debate, it looked like he gave up. Like he had no energy. Like he was like a fighter, a heavyweight fighter, who put all his energy in the first three rounds. Like throwing haymakers, Larry, bam, bam. And then by the fourth round, Clinton was still on her feet, bobbing and weaving.
Yeah.
And now he was
out of
energy.
Steady throughout.
Yeah, it was like the Rocky Marciano, right?
He blew his load out on the thing. And the problem that Trump is going to have here is that not only did he look bad like to his debate, it's going to be worse now projecting forward. Because the next debate, he's going to be like super ugly vicious. He's already putting it out there. He's going to talk about Bill Clinton's peccadilloes. He's going to talk about everything and anything he can find. And that means she's going to, and he'll, that's going to, I think, hurt him even more. But it's going to put her in an uncomfortable position. But, I mean, you can see where this is going. Because he started out fast, he faded fast. And I was telling somebody who was also a Trump supporter, I said, look, the reason for this is because all the previous debates, there were like 16 people on the stage with him.
Yeah.
And it's easy in spurts to be fired and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then the moderator has to go to Dr. Carson and Huckabee and Rand Paul, and you're bouncing around, and there's plenty of time to stand there, get your energy back, get your thoughts back, and you're basically fighting boredom. It's different when it's one-on-one, and you have to sit here and do the back and forth, and of course, because he's so thin-skinned, she was able, like, to bait him.
And the camera was on him the whole time.
Yeah.
Of like Larry said, which is a great point, when you initially shared the stage with, like, 15 idiots, that was a problem. Because, not a problem, but it was to his benefit, because he got the airtime, like Larry said, refreshed, short spurts. But this time, so you saw his fidgeting. You know what I noticed, being like someone who notices
these
things?
And they did the split screen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, with the split screen. You know what I noticed? He never took a note. He sat there, just fidgeting and interrupting. Someone counted 34 interruptions to Clinton's 4. I mean, no matter what you think of her, She did not act like a cunt in that. She was quiet. She was respectful. She waited her turn. When she had an issue, she would say, Lester, you know, is it my turn? Can I speak? Do I have time? Whereas that idiot, boom, you could tell he's never debated really in his life before. Like the stuff.
Well, he's not a politician.
Well, I was going to say, the stuff on Fox, the stuff and all that was theater, even more so than this theater.
Right.
And you could
calling
see,
it the Morning Joe, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Having to stand there and debate.
Did you notice how, and I know Larry, we'll get to the issues, but just in terms of style.
Sure.
Did you notice how many times he forgot his thought halfway through his speech?
Yeah, because he was just rambling.
He was just rambling, and a lot of times, and also, what did he fill it with? Did you notice how many plugs he threw in for his businesses? Talk about someone who's unpresidential. When I went to Florida, which, by the way, I own a lot of beautiful property in, and I have a lot of developer friends who together we've done millions of dollars worth of business in that state, Larry. Like, did you notice how many times he threw in his plugs, which just goes to show you all along, it's what I've said, this is just a marketing campaign for him. He has no desire to actually be president. This is a money-making scheme for him. That's all there is to it. This is a money-making scheme for him. And he ran out of juice. He forgot his lines. He had horrible answers. Now, I will say one thing. Clinton's responses were no better from our point of view philosophically.
Yeah.
She delivered them more professionally. She was more stately, Larry. She was more professional. But what she actually said was still horseshit.
Yeah.
And if you want to look about horseshit, Larry, to me, and I know you've got your notes, so anytime jump in, but the thing that, to me, encapsulated why you needed a Gary Johnson on that debate, or someone who isn't a fucking statist, was the discussion about guns and police. Those two could not jump over each other fast enough to shit on the Bill of Rights. Did you notice that? Oh, we're going to take people's guns away. Well, we're going to keep them on that no-fly list, and then we'll figure out how to get them off it later. And what we need is stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk, yeah.
Well, sir, that was ruled unconstitutional. No, wasn't. Like, why is he arguing and debating fact? And even when Lester Holt said, no, this judge ruled it was unconstitutional, he says, but if he hadn't ruled, what did he say?
He goes, it was going to be challenged, and they didn't follow up on it.
Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
It was still ruled unconstitutional. What does that mean?
That has nothing to do with the unconstitutionality.
Yeah. The Giants would have won last week if they had only scored 2 more touchdowns.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Right.
That only makes sense to rubes, okay?
Yeah.
So, to me, when you looked at the substance, I mean, Trump, we've already established, he's like a baby Mussolini. He just wants to take over shit and put his name on everything. But Clinton's answers were no better. Were no better. And to give that idiot credit, meaning Trump, Larry, there were a couple of points he brought up that were actually true.
Yeah.
All right? She did flip-flop on TPP.
Yes, that's the one.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We'll jump right into that. Back in 2012, Hillary Clinton, not only was she in favor of the trans pipeline, okay, she said that it was the gold standard.
No, the Trans-Pacific Pact.
Trans-Pacific Pact. And she said it was the gold standard. This is a matter of record. This was like, to her, this was the perfect deal. Now, she's against it. Right? So when Trump brought that up,
I listened to the whole thing very carefully. She did give herself an out by saying, which again, in the absence of Trump, a halfway decent Republican or competent libertarian would have roasted her on this. But he's too much of an idiot to figure it out. The out she gave herself was, I said it was a gold standard as negotiated, but not as signed. Meaning that it was something that she changed before she could change her mind, right? Yeah. Maybe that's true, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But the point is, someone who was a skilled debater would have trapped her on that.
Right.
Okay? Instead of just yelling, crooked Hillary, lying Hillary, you know, whatever the fuck, like...
But it goes to the issue that he was so ill-prepared.
Oh, horribly prepared.
Obviously, it's actually the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Sorry about that. But you know what I noticed also, sorry to cut you off, but what I noticed as far as that he should have nailed her on it, like when she started with the, you called women pigs, you called women fat, like all that stuff, which, he did. You know what he should have said? What? And I'm surprised nobody thought about, nobody in his camp, this goes to show, and the Kellyanne Conway, who's running it, she should have known this right off the top of her head. She's an operative. She's been around forever. You know what he should have said? Well, I could have stayed at home and served tea and biscuits, but I decided to do something with my life.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
Who said that in 1992? Hillary Clinton. Right. Wearing a puke green outfit that was really ugly. As that must have been St. Patrick's Day. Jesus. And she said it. She said it in a really surly way. And at the time, that was used against her, which accurate, you know, appropriately so. That's like that obnoxious feminist point of view that women who take care of their kids and stay at home and more domestic are losers. Their lives mean nothing because you don't have an important 9-to-5 job. That would have been the perfect, as far as I'm concerned, that's the perfect comeback because she's talking about you call women pigs and fat. She's bragging in her commercials, I'm a mom and a grandma. And a grandmother. And she's talking about like it actually means something to her right now. You know what you do? You hit her with that. You hit her with that line. You talk about quickly Lewinsky, Paula Jones, Juanita Broderick, Jennifer Flowers. You slam her and you just say, well, you know, you're a woman as long as there's women who aren't in your way or women you think who aren't productive. Or, you know.
What was interesting there is like there was a couple of times like that was one of them. I agree. Had he been prepared, had he... just instead of trying to interrupt her all the time, had actually listened to what she said and taken notes the way she did with him.
Yeah.
Everything that came out of Trump's mouth, you saw she was writing down notes to remind herself and to write out her response before she forgot it. Trump was just like, you know, leaning, you know,
and the usual hand thing.
Yeah. Now you have to understand, like, one of the things that is, I think, fair game is to say, you claim you're a feminist, but what did you do for all the women that your husband allegedly raped? Because these are allegations that are out there. Or molested. Or fucked interns or whatever.
Yeah.
These are legitimate questions. And
she took his side.
Right. And to say that, oh, that was Bill, not her. No, we didn't say she fucked those girls. Although, who knows. But my point being that she enabled Bill. Because there were times when she said, this is nothing but a vast right-wing conspiracy. You have all these women that came forward that said she, Hillary, threatened them if they made the affairs public, okay?
Right.
That she basically didn't care. If you read Jennifer Flowers' book, you find out that Hillary Clinton probably knew all about it and didn't care as long as it was kept under wraps.
As long as it was kept under wraps. I always told people, Hillary Clinton, as long as Bill's affairs don't become public, it doesn't embarrass her, and at the time, if you think chronologically, doesn't affect her future in politics. Look, this whole thing that he got his time as president, she gets her time as president, you don't think that's a coincidence here. Right. This has been their plan all along. he gets his 8 years, and hopefully, in her opinion, she gets her 8 years.
And then Chelsea will get her 8 years.
Right, and it's obnoxious as all hell, because she's out there talking about being a mom and a grandma, and she's trying to get votes based on she'll be the first female president.
Right.
And look how she treated these women after her. I mean, look, some of them have to be true. We know the Lewinsky thing is true. He admitted that. The Jennifer Flowers is true. So, I mean, you know, let's face it, Bill Clinton's career of acting like he's on spring break is pretty well known.
Yeah.
And she's been pulling the Tammy Wynette stand by your man while ridiculing women who take care of their kids.
And that's the big thing. Like, you can very calmly challenge her on, you say you're a feminist, you've advised women in the past to leave abusive husbands, to leave abusive relationships. She stumped for federal dollars when she was on the Hill. When she was a senator from New York, she stumped for federal dollars to have women's shelters in places where these abused, battered women, not to say that Bill battered her, but, you know, clearly she was in a relationship where the guy didn't give a shit, okay? And where he embarrassed her, right? Like, what kind of woman with her own self-respect would stay in that? You mean she had to stay married to a man in order to move ahead politically? I mean, what kind of message is that for feminists, okay?
Right, even Uma Abedin has moved on. Okay, when Elliot Spitzer got caught arranging hookers and wiring money, his wife left him. That Republican, I forgot his name, the Republican governor of, like, South Carolina.
Yeah, and the governor Spitzer also.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys, their women were like...
They're probably changing their tune now. But my point is that there were legitimate points for him, had he been paying attention, had he been prepared, had he been taking notes to be able to... But, you know... Again, it just shows you, that's not Trump's mentality. Trump's mentality is that of a five-year-old. It's like, what was just said? What? Larry, what did you just say?
Yeah, what?
What? What? Cunts? What?
You're stupid.
Yeah.
You have a small dick, Marco.
Yeah.
You know, that was that.
That was that. So, to me, that was very interesting. It was not just the substance of the stuff, which she was wrong on a lot of stuff. Okay?
Yeah, she made mistakes. Not as many as him.
Not as many as him. But Larry, another thing I know is probably in your notes was when she hit him with the you've never paid federal taxes, the tell tax return thing. Right. How horribly did he handle that?
Yeah, he tried to make it, that makes me smart, that he got out of paying whatever taxes. Then he still hasn't, which is true, he has not released his tax returns. He keeps talking about an audit.
And what was he?
And that he's going to release them, even despite the fact that his lawyers told him, don't do it. Yeah, like, he's trying to show that he's like, you know, he'll do it anyway.
He'll do it after he's elected, he said, basically.
Yeah, but the fact checkers found out that he did pay, but only like a couple of years that they can really find. And so, like, it's like half true.
Well, it was what Clinton actually said during the debate, that the only tax returns they could find on him are the ones that he had to file in order to get a casino license, where he was legally required to do it.
But that's just a few years.
Yeah, and a long time ago.
Yeah.
And now you see the difference. Again, Clinton, I'm not supporting, but did you notice how she laid out the case for him?
Right.
He hasn't, like every other presidential candidate for the last, 40, 50 years, according to Lester Holt, has released their full taxes. And he kept saying, well, I've released these financial information that comes from my financial advisors. And he said, that's not the same. And he goes, well, you know, what did he say? Why do you need him? And he goes, well, we need him to see if there's any conflicts, if you're paying your taxes, how much you gave to charity, is there any potential foreign interest?
She nailed him on that too. She goes, he probably hasn't given any money to charity. Well, he didn't even answer.
Well, I was going to say, if you notice how Clinton laid it out. She kept quiet while he was badgering Lester Holt and going back and forth. She kept quiet. She was taking her notes. When it was her turn to respond, what did she say? Well, it could only be one of three things. He's not as rich as he says he is, which a lot of people like myself agree with. B, he doesn't pay his taxes, or he hasn't paid enough taxes. Or C, maybe he doesn't want us to find out that he's never given any money to charity. Which, by the way, nobody's been able to find any records of him giving to charity.
Yeah.
Especially all the veterans groups.
In fact, just to throw this in, it's Friday, October 4th here. What's today? I'm sorry.
September 29th or 30th.
Where am I? I'm sorry. Oh, you know what? I saw that on a sign on my way in there. Yeah, I thought that was today's date. I'm sorry, today's like the end of September.
Yeah.
But they had a thing that came out in the news today that he spent $68,000 trying to invest in Cuba when it was illegal.
Yeah.
And then he tried to get out of it or something. His camp said, well, he was only investigating the possibility of doing it. But apparently that was against the law, too, even investigating, investing in Cuba. Sorry about the date.
Yeah, no, but she also brought up the fact that he's legendary for this. See, we knew this in New York way before he even decided to run for president, but right. It's absolutely true. He's made a habit of stiffing contractors for their work. For all you union rednecks that are supporting Trump because he tells the truth and he's going to bring back jobs to America, right, you fucking assholes. Do you know what he does to these fucking... He signs contracts where people do work, say, for $1 million. Then he pretends like he doesn't like the work. Then he settles it for half the contract. And if anybody gives him shit, he says, take me to court. And these are small businesses. And he's been very... I'll give him credit. He's a very cunning asshole. Because he always seems to choose businesses that can't afford to either...
To litigate
or to just walk away from it. Because if he really didn't like the work these guys did in his beautiful hotels, why would he keep the work? You know, it was just a way for him to Jew down the price. And yes, I said Jew down the price. Because that's probably the way he speaks. Okay?
Well, we know his supporters do.
And we know his supporters do. Alright? And what did Clinton say? I have someone here that, you know, much like my father, who was a what? A carpenter, a builder, whatever she said. That you stiffed. You did not pay him. And what, like, rather than say I don't recall, or maybe there were, he just said, that's because he didn't do a good job. You know, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you know what I mean? None of these people did good jobs? Then guess what? That shows you have bad judgment.
Yeah.
Because you keep picking the wrong, so you can't have it both ways. You can't be this master businessman and builder.
Right.
Then say that every person you've ever hired sucked so much that
everybody
you're trying not to
contract to do a job for you blows.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Well, what it proves is that you're cheating them on the price because you don't want to pay full price after they did the job, whether they did a good job or not.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm assuming most of them did a very good job.
Probably.
And you probably just, hey, you know, why should I spend $1 million when I could spend $500,000? Yeah. So as the debate churned, okay, then she hit him. Lester Holt. A little, I thought he was a little biased.
Oh,
there, but,
no, let's address that.
He did seem like he was more
He was biased. But I will say this. For all you drunk rubes that are complaining about media bias, let me explain one thing to you. The reason your boy got this far is because of all the media attention he got for free.
Right.
Okay, if you remember, he never spent a dime early on during those debates up until, like, he really started to pull away. He never spent a dime on his campaign. It was all free publicity because this fucking media would trip over themselves to broadcast this clown. And because
they kept calling into shows.
Right, I mean, because they knew he was a ratings winner, okay? People love to see car wrecks and train wrecks, okay? And so... for you to finally complain, and what did we say? We predicted this 3-4 months ago when it's just him and the fun of having him call Little Marco and Lying Ted and what is it and Baby Bush or Boring
low,
Bush,
low energy Bush, low energy Jeb.
Like, what's the fun of that ended and there was nobody on his side to pick on anymore?
Right.
What did you think that a left wing mainstream media would do to your boy?
Of course.
What did you think?
They're going to back their person.
Every Republican since then since Kennedy has had to battle this with a liberal media, okay? Before there was Fox News, there was nowhere that a conservative could go to get a fair shake. It's always been an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Okay? Especially on TV and radio. Newspapers, you know,
that makes the Trump people really stupid is you must have realized at some point, even though he's a ratings winner, they loved having him on Morning Joe all the time.
Yep.
Fox, he call in, he does personal in studio with Sean Hannity, who I personally think wants to lick his ass like unbelievably. He makes every excuse for this guy is imaginable. Okay, what did you think was going to happen to a guy who was proposing we build a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border? We ban Muslims from coming into the country temporarily. Okay. What did you think was going to happen to a guy who says all these things and thinks highly of Putin? Don't you understand? Once the fun of that's over, now it's get serious time. And get serious, like, you know, even if they have reservations about Hillary, they're not going to be nice to him. They're not going to be fair to him. They don't want him to be president. They just like the fact that he took all the legitimate Republicans and smacked them around and, like, he got rid of Rick Perry. Remember Rick Perry with the glasses?
Yes.
He's just trying to look smart now.
Yes.
Like, it was all fun and games then.
Yeah.
But now it's different. Now it's serious. They want to get Hillary in there. They want to get the first woman president.
And a Democrat.
And a Democrat. They want to keep that going. They want to keep him out. If he destroys the Republican Party in the process, hey, from their point of view, so much the better. And, as long as the Democrats keep winning.
And look at exactly what's been happening now, right? So he's crying. They turned off my mic. My mic was defective. The only thing wrong with that microphone is that it amplified his stupid voice, and we could hear what he was thinking. Right. That's the only problem with that microphone, folks, okay? I know I read some articles today that it might have been... Listen, everyone could hear him. There was no point where his lips were moving and I couldn't hear what he was saying. Okay?
I could hear both of them just fine. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. So the other thing, though, she really got him on, though, that Lester Holt, he claims that he was against the Iraq war.
One of the funniest moments.
Now, this is hilarious. Now, the original anything, as everyone well knows now, he was on Howard Stern. And Howard Stern asked him if he supports the war in Iraq. He went, well, yeah, kind of like that. You know, kind of wishy-washy support.
All right. Yes.
But officially, yes. He certainly didn't come out like Democratic Congressman Kuchinich, if you know that guy, who went, this is terrible, I'm against it, it sucks. I mean, in fact, he briefly ran for president in 2004 or 2008, and his whole campaign things, we're going to get out of there in 90 days.
Oh, and by the way,
so it wasn't like that.
And also like Bernie.
Right.
Bernie was against it. Gary Johnson was against it. So there were people who vociferously said, we're against it.
But they have the Howard Stern thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And when he officially said that he was against it and that it was a mess, it had already been going on for a while, and the country had even started to sour on it a little bit. Yeah. So all he's really doing is just following the leader.
Well, he's playing both sides. In other words, for his rubes, he could say, I'm tough. I wanted to go into Iraq, you know, like for his rubes. And then he'll play the Howard Stern thing. And then for the people who are hitting him on that, we shouldn't be involved. He's saying, well, and like a little five-year-old, again, I can't emphasize this enough, someone with the best temperament, his whole response was, just call up to Sean Hannity. Ask Sean Hannity. He'll tell you I was against it because I told him. Ask him. Go ahead. Ask him. What the fuck?
What does that prove?
What? You're getting the number one Trump ass kisser next to Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, seriously. What does that prove?
Right.
See, the other thing...
But what really makes it ridiculous... All right, look, whatever his position was or is, he didn't take the opportunity to bash her on it. She was way out in front. You would think she was in the fucking Bush administration.
Right.
She voted for it. She voted for every appropriation bill, every piece of military hardware that came down. She had, at one point, as a senator, excuse me, from New York, she had a better, if you want to call it better, a tougher record, you know, voting for defense than a lot of Republican senators. Even those guys voted for a few over the years, like, well, we don't need this system. Where she voted for everything that came down the pike because she knew at one point she was going to be running for president, and she didn't want to be perceived as weak.
Also, she was from New York, and New York suffered the brunt of those attacks on 9/11. It's like a... Wow. I'm saying it's a very political thing to do if you're a New Yorker. Yeah. You vote for the attacks, and you vote for the relief for the firefighters and the police and all that, right? And she, again, to give her credit, she was out front on saying the government was wrong to open up downtown Manhattan while there was still shit in the air and people were breathing it in and getting cancer from that shit, okay?
Yeah.
She was out front in that. So the truth of the matter is that both of them are hit on that. Was Lester Holt biased? Absolutely. Absolutely he was biased. But you know what a smart person does? He turns that bias around on its ear.
Right.
Right?
He didn't turn anything.
He could have turned it around and said, you know, Lester, at the time I was for Iraq, but you know what? At the end of the day, I didn't vote to send anybody over there. Yeah. Someone else did.
Yeah.
How easy would that have been? And you turn it around, and now even someone who's biased has to say, well, yeah, why did you vote for it, Secretary Clinton? But that's what happens when you're a fucking rube. Okay? You can't think on your feet. All you know how to do is yell and scream, call people stupid and crooked and lying and whatever. Low energy and cocksuckers and pigs.
You don't take notes in debates because you're so smart you can think extemporaneously and think off the top of
your head. And afterwards,
his
people even admitted he did not spend any time preparing. Like, you heard all about Clinton preparing. She hired, like, three different Trump versions. She hired the obnoxious Trump to play, someone to play obnoxious Trump, someone to play thoughtful presidential Trump, just in case he came out like reserved on Xanax or whatever. And then he got she got somebody to play the hybrid Trump, who would be like yelling at her about Bill getting his dick sucked, but calm on policy or something. So she prepared, and look.
Yes, and she was prepared.
Yeah.
And you can see, as annoying as I mean, I can't stand her, but you can see she knows the issues. You can see she's like a policy wonk, in a sense. Like, she's very well prepared.
She's wrong.
This to me, yes.
She's wrong.
But what it really struck me as, it made me think of when I was a kid in school.
Yeah.
And there were always the kids who did their homework, and they were prepared. And then there were the kids, and occasionally I fell into this category, who didn't. And they were just sitting there and just kind of winging it and ad-libbing it. Like, I did my work, and, like, that's it. Like, I didn't kill myself in school, but you could always tell there were the kids that usually sat in the front of the class, and they really did their homework. I would dare say they enjoyed doing it.
Right.
You could see that she was prepared. And she was like the kid, to me, who sits in the front of the class and is prepared and raises their hands for everything. Trump reminds me of the jerks who sat in the back and did nothing. And this could be the case because, let's face it, his father set him up financially. Well, how much did he have to really struggle
about? Yeah, so, I love people who say he's an Ivy League graduate. Yeah. Come on.
Fuck you. That's all. I hate the... Let me tell you. I'm not a big white privilege person, but if there's any truth to it, here it is. This cocksucker, what did he have to do? His father set him up with like $1 million something originally, lost it, gave him some more. Like, are you kidding? Everybody in the world would love to have that much money just to poof off with. You've got to be kidding me. So,
yeah, so that's
the Iraq war was a mess.
Yep.
The TPP was a mess. And she, you know, and she was calm and she was like smiling at him at times. And he, I thought he was just absolutely terrible.
He was literally out of gas. Like the last 25, 30 minutes, he was like halfway through, he babbled, then he plugged some stupid thing he did. She even managed to hit him, which, again, goes to show you preparation. She even managed to hit him that he was sued repeatedly. His companies were sued for racial discrimination.
Right.
Where, like, and it's documented. Like, look, we've been railing about this forever. He's not a smart businessman. He's not a clever person. He is, without a doubt, what everyone would refer to as an asshole.
P.T. Barnum.
He's a piece of shit. He's a carny, okay? And his kids are even worse, okay? Whenever you say, well, he got sued for racial discrimination, well, you know, he was the CEO. It doesn't mean he was against it. But everyone you talk to says it's very clear what he wanted. You go to Drumpf University, a scam if ever there was one, that's being litigated right now. He says, well, I wasn't there. If they did something wrong, if, I had nothing to do with it. How many times can you expect a CEO to say, I had nothing to do with it? Why? Then, you know, you can't have everything. Either you knew about it and you're lying, or you're so stupid and not good at hiring people that you keep hiring criminals. It's one or the other. Because it didn't happen just once. It's happened repeatedly with him.
Right. Also, to that point, there was another thing that was fact-checked. Trump has said, and repeatedly, he admits that he said that his businesses went into Chapter 11 four times.
Yep.
Clinton, during the debate, said six. That turns out to be true.
Oh, is
they it? Found two more in 1991 or two. Sorry.
There you go, Larry. Larry's on
there
the
board. There it is. It's six. The PolitiFact, give you a shout out, found two more in 1992. So, Drumpf. It's actually six. Now, I know that the average Trump, you got me saying Trump. I know you guys can't count that high, but six is different than four.
We're about to close.
Yeah, so. That's a good one. But it's actually six. And, you know, all this stuff about he always says, well, I just used the laws that were at my advantage. But don't you realize?
Look, that's insider.
That's fine. Exactly. not only is it insider, how does that make him a good business?
Exactly.
One is already like, really? Like, two is like, huh? Like, you know, it's actually six times.
And listen, people correctly will say that some great CEOs have gone bankrupt at some point or other, right?
That's great.
Like, I mean, look. Steve Jobs had a company fail. Carly Fiorina was the head of a company that companies fail. But here's the difference: companies go bankrupt after an earnest attempt at trying to be successes. Drumpf learned when he was horribly in debt. You know what he learned? He could get people to give him money to use his name. cash the checks, and then not give a shit if the company failed. Because he got paid, which means it's not in corporate assets. So when the thing files bankruptcy, there's nothing to claw back. He's already spent it all. Throw in the fact that it's been documented that he uses his charitable foundation as an ATM to fly his cunt wife around on free vacations, okay? what do you, Rubes, what is it that you claim? Now listen, the other thing a lot of people forget is when you talked about the original get down in the dirt muckrakers, the Clintons are among the best. Ask all the Democratic bodies they've left in their wake over the last 25, 30 years, Larry.
Sure, sure.
Anybody. Do you remember when Bill Clinton, they caught him on a hot mic when they thought someone had mistakenly told them that Jesse Jackson wasn't supporting Hillary against Obama?
Right.
Do you remember what he said? Like, he basically threatened to cut his nuts off, all right?
Yeah, they called him, like, a black so-and-so.
Yeah, it was, like, racial remark. You have to understand, the Clintons are just as dirty, not just even policy-wise, not money-wise, but in terms of muckraking, in terms of holding dirt against people. They are some of the best at it, okay?
They're grifters.
They are. They're horrible, but, I mean, they're not about to be intimidated. You think Hillary hasn't had to put up with Bill getting his dick sucked by 20-year-old interns?
She doesn't care.
You don't think that she doesn't know Bill is probably, allegedly, getting his dick waxed right now? I wouldn't be surprised if he's banging Melania on the side.
That's cool. That would roll.
That would be awful.
That would be the most awful thing ever.
So the other lies, let's jump into
very quickly, let's run these off.
Okay, the other ones that he got, that came in, Hillary Clinton got in a little trouble for this. there was an economist named Mark Zandi, okay? He studied Trump's tax plan and Hillary's tax plan.
Right. Okay.
Trump says his is going to cut taxes for people, especially at the bottom of the economic scale.
Right. Okay.
So he studied it, and that's not true.
Of course not.
Okay, it's going to cut taxes amazingly for people at the top. At the bottom, it's going to be fuck you. And he also concluded it will cost us.
It will add to the debt.
Yeah, it'll add to the debt. But they didn't get into the specifics of it, but it said it would cost us 3 million jobs. Now, during the debate, Hillary Clinton mentioned that, but then she said, "My plan will cut taxes for people at the bottom, and it will create 10 million jobs." And the problem that she ran into with that was the guy reviewed her plan and he said, to her credit, I guess, her plan would create 3.2 million jobs. He goes, but the difference between the 3 and the 7 is already on existing laws and would happen anyway or something like that. So she exaggerated the job creation part of her tax plan, but neither one of them, according to this guy, neither one of them, both plans are, he put, seriously flawed and would never pass Congress anyway. That's the other thing he put in. Both of them have, like, such flaws in them that neither party is going to step up and say, this is what I want, whether it creates jobs or not.
So, yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, you have to understand that, and listen, we were texting each other during the debates. And one of the things I texted Larry, which he agreed with at the time, and we got a good laugh out of this, I said, if you turned off the volume while Trump was talking and just listened to Clinton's answers, like, let's assume she was debating somebody. If you listened to her answers, you would think she was losing horribly because her positions are so fucked up. They're socialist borderline, they're statist. People who are interested in liberty and not having the government in their business would hate Clinton. Okay? Most of the Trump rubes, if they could just vote based on policy, if they listened to her, they would understand. Here's the problem. The problem is, Trump talks about the same shit. Right? So, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, guess what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You want free trade. You want more free trade, as much as you can get. You don't want tariffs. Tariffs are not good for anybody. When he's talking about a tax plan that adds to the debt more than Hillary's, and both of them will add debt to the budget, guess what? That's bad on both ends. You're talking about the same two sides of the same status coin, Larry. There's only one person And it's becoming clearer and clearer why the CPD, the Commission on Presidential Debates, which is co-owned by the Democratic and Republican Party, why they don't want Gary Johnson on that stage, Larry. He's the only one, policy-wise, that would have pointed this shit out. All right? He would have pointed out that, you know what the best tax plan is? Flat tax for everyone, or a fair tax, a consumption tax.
Right.
You know what else is good? Not spending billions of dollars sending our troops overseas. That's good. You know what else is good? Getting rid of all these regulations that stifle small business.
Right? And stop being the policeman of the world.
And stop being the policeman.
And stop following policies that kill a lot of people overseas and drive up resentment towards the United States of America.
And get rid of no-fly lists. Get rid of all this shit. Have a judge sign a warrant every time you want this. These are things that someone who believes in the Constitution, like I said, those two assholes on that stage couldn't trip over each other fast enough to proudly proclaim their desire to shit on the Bill of Rights.
Right.
To shit on the Bill of Rights.
And they're proposing tax plans that would will increase. I mean, you're going to have $20 trillion in debt. You're going to keep raising the debt ceiling because you're going to have to. And it's just an act. And you know what it is? The country's just whistling past the graveyard. Eventually, this thing's going to explode.
Yeah.
And then what? I mean, I understand that people don't feel it in your everyday life, and you're going about your business with your families. That debt is just it's a menace. And
well, eventually,
neither one of them is going to do anything about it to add to it.
Eventually, the inflation's going to hit, just like it did in Japan, just like it did in Chile before Friedman's reforms over there. Okay. It will hit because you're devaluing the money every time. And an idiot president who gets up there and says, you know how you handle debt? You print more dollars because we own the printing presses. Again, rube logic.
Yeah, he said that.
Okay.
That is the stupidest thing. Do me a favor. If you're a Trump supporter, go on Google right now and just...
Trump trying
to... You don't know. You know what you do? Type in monetary policy of Brazil in the 1980s. Just type that in. You know what you'll get? You'll get all the stuff that John talked about 5 months ago about hyperinflation. Okay? And you'll see how, well, we'll just keep printing up there. We'll just keep adding zeros on the money. And you know what? Then before you know it, you've got money that has no value whatsoever. It's a joke. And, you know, you're supposed to be the standard in the world that people can always count on. Here's the U.S. dollar.
The world's currency.
The world's currency. We replaced the pound. Back in 1975, you know, you could get to a point
and
where, believe it or not, we could be replaced by somebody.
Which is the worst thing in the world because
it kills
our currency. Because right now, every other country has to transfer their currency to dollars.
Right.
Whether it's a euro, whether it's a Thai baht, whether it's anything, right?
Right.
But anyway, economics can wait. But anyway, so I just wanted to point out, Larry, about Gary Johnson. You could throw away your notes. Let's not talk about the debate anymore because we're almost out of time. But I just wanted to say... Gary Johnson, go on the That Riot Show Facebook page, facebook.com/That Riot Show. We've posted a clip from Reason TV on Gary Johnson finally getting angry right before the debates when he simulcast. Remember earlier we said he did this? And Larry, I have to admit, the woman was very polite. The reporter asking the question was very polite. She was not trying to do a gotcha, but she was asking whatever was on everybody's mind. What about Aleppo? Why do you have this problem with Aleppo? You can't seem to recall foreign leaders. And Gary Johnson got angrier than I've ever seen him.
Right.
Raised his voice, stood up, and he's like, what difference does it make if I can tell you where Aleppo is or the name of some foreign leader? He goes, you know what I know? That the policy of sending Americans to die in foreign countries is wrong. And I want it to stop, right? And he was very angry, and you could see. But here's the difference. Angry, yet intelligent. Mad, but not a five-year-old.
But it was focused.
And focused. And not to call his opponents like crooked Hillary and stupid Trump. It was like, I'm angry because you guys are focusing on me not knowing what Aleppo was, when what you should be focused on is that I'm the only one who's saying I don't want to send troops to Syria.
And look at the two people you are letting be on the debate stage. And look at them. This is why, and I'm wearing this for this week, this is why the libertarians, keeping Republicans out of your bedroom, keeping Democrats out of your wallet. That's actually basically true. Now, let me tell you something. the Democrats and the Republicans, I mean, naturally, they both claimed victory.
Right.
After the debate. But you know what? Gary Johnson was not allowed in, but you can go online and see and hear his answers.
Yeah.
I would tell people to do that.
Yeah, definitely go to our Facebook page or go to his Facebook page. We'll link to it. But absolutely, his answers were spot on everything, on policy. And as a matter of fact, he at that press conference, he did say, he goes, look at Hillary Clinton. She dots the I's and crosses the T's. She's a policy wonk. She knows all these names. And at the end of the day, she's sending Americans to die in senseless wars.
Yeah.
She is the one who put this policy together. She's the one who couldn't contain ISIS, right? And he's right about all that.
Yeah, and she okayed the plan in Libya. Look what a mess Libya has become, for God's sakes. And she's behind, she's been behind all these things. She lied about Benghazi. She lied about the internet video.
She has a history of mistrust, and it's very obvious.
Yeah, but it's also just poor judgment.
This is just poor.
You know what? Forget even that she's such a lying scumbag. Fine. You know what? Look at her judgment. Now, how about the reset button with Russia? Did that work out? Putin embarrassed Bush overall. Remember, Bush said, I looked into his eyes and I saw his soul. Yeah. And now he's been slapping around Obama for the past 8 years. And you don't think he's not going to be able to do that to her? You're out of your fucking mind.
Clinton has already failed with Putin.
Right.
But here's the other thing. Fucking Trump has said he admires Putin.
He wants a blow.
He thinks he's one of the greatest leaders in the world. And you have to understand something. You're talking about, essentially, a gangster president.
Right.
Okay, that guy's like a fucking mafioso. He's killed people. He's used the government to line his own pockets. When his term was over, guess what he did? He became prime minister, and he just had one of his puppets elected president, and then he ran the country anyway.
Yeah.
Then he, much like Michael Bloomberg in New York, he just bought himself a new rule change, and he's president again.
Right.
You have to understand, for anyone to say they admire, look, do we admit you have to deal with Putin? Do you have to work with him in some diplomatic way? Absolutely.
You're going to have to work with him on Syria. They're
a nuclear power. You can't just shit on them. But to say you admire Putin like Trump does,
right,
okay, is to say you admire a Mussolini, that you admire a Pinochet, that you admire a fucking Hitler or a Mao.
He's just a strong man.
Or a Kim Jong-un. These are fucking tyrants.
Right.
Okay? And Trump is expressing his admiration. The same assholes. And again, Larry, it wasn't a high point. I wish Gary Johnson could come up with somebody when he was asked this. And he's got to stop going on MSNBC because this is where all this shit happens. But they asked him, can you name a foreign leader you admire? And he said, no, I can't.
He goes, the only thing which I didn't like about it, he goes, I'm having an Aleppo moment. Which I thought that was bad only because you're not only not answering the question. You're bringing up a previous fuck-up that you're now known for.
Right.
Like, he would have been just better off. Look, just say, look, well, I think Angela Merkel in Germany is doing a good job.
I think
Hollande in France is a reasonable guy. And, boom, you move on. Nobody cares about it. Nobody's basing
or
their vote on it.
Whatever.
But the point is, then he blurted out, he just goes, the former head of Mexico. But then naturally, Matthew's pressing for the guy's name, and Weld had to go, with Fox.
Yeah.
Vicente Fox. Like, you can't do that. Like, these are like little boo-boos along the way.
But you have to understand, I didn't say it was a high point, and I'm not going to defend that he couldn't name anybody, but there's two things you have to take into consideration.
Right.
As a libertarian, there is nobody in the rest of the world, for the most part, that supports liberty. There's no shithole nation on this fucking earth that supports liberty. Not in Europe, not England, not fucking France, not in China, not in Japan, nowhere, okay? Or maybe there's some fucking little libertarian libertaria somewhere that they kind of follow. Was it Hong Kong for a while was pretty libertarian? But the point is, if you're a lover of freedom, there's very few people you could say you admire, okay? But that distinction aside, it was a fuck-up. But guess what? At the end of the day, I don't care, because I would rather we just don't send our kids to those fucking shitholes to die for no reason, okay? We need our soldiers to defend us. There is an ISIS out there. We need to defend against ISIS. We don't need to be in Syria figuring out who's dropping a bomb on which fucking savage out there. Let them kill each other for all I care. Who fucking cares at the end of the day? Alright? That's the first thing. So he's absolutely right, Larry, to be upset about that. Why are people focusing on his not knowing Aleppo? Why aren't they focusing on Trump not knowing how many articles there are in the Constitution he's hoping to swore to uphold and defend?
Yeah, why aren't they upset that Trump wants to change the libel laws and go after reporters who he doesn't like?
Yeah.
And my God, really? Is that something the president should be doing? Figuring out, did Ronald Reagan try to change the laws to go after Sam Donaldson? Because yeah, Sam Donaldson used to yell at him all the time. Hey, Reagan! Oh, come on. Yeah. You have to learn to take these. And you know what it is? It goes to show, Hillary Clinton, give her credit. She said one thing which is absolutely true. She goes, the President of the United States should not be a person who can be so easily like taunted with a tweet or a comment or something. The fact that he wants to change, like I just thought about the libel laws, to go after reporters.
And that he's bothering to continue a Twitter war with that fucking Miss Universe that he called a piggy, that he's constantly attacking her and saying she's a cunt who sucked dick on film or whatever the fuck he's talking about. Like, why is he wasting his time with that bitch?
Right. Or even right after the convention, the Democrat convention. 2 weeks of him fighting with the Muslim guy whose son fought for this country.
A gold star family.
And died defending this country. Why are you spending 2 minutes? Fine, here's what happens. The guy makes funny. He says something about the convention. You go, look, he's entitled to his opinion. I respect his son's service. Boop.
Done.
You move on. You're done. You don't spend 2 weeks picking on another person who isn't white and makes you look like a racist asshole. Why spend time making fun of a Mexican-American judge who you claimed he might not be able to do his job, John? Why? Because he's a Mexican?
Yeah.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
A Mexican
mind?
Who was born in, Indiana.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. He's more natural born in here than Melania is. For God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole thing with Trump, and he just kept going on. And then, of course, his other Joe American thing. One last thing, which drove me crazy. During the debate, he said again, and he didn't explain how he's going to do this. He's going to stop Ford from taking their cars and building them in Mexico. We got to stop companies from leaving the country and going away. So here's the question. How? That's number one. Mistake number two, for anybody who cares, Ford is only moving a small car building division to Mexico. The people in Michigan and Ohio, Wisconsin, who he was talking to, Michigan, Wisconsin, because he needs their votes. These are swing states. He said Michigan was going. You're going to lose a lot of jobs. That's actually not true. Ford is keeping their large vehicle building operations there. Their jobs are fine. This is an expansion, and they're setting up a small car division in Mexico. Yeah. They're not going to lose any jobs whatsoever. So when he says that, he's just pushing your buttons and making you think, wow, the jobs are going like south of the border. It's actually not true.
But even if it were true, here's the point. Even if it were true, who cares?
Right, who cares?
Part of being a free market. And why? Because when those jobs go across the border, cars get cheaper. So yeah, some people might lose their jobs. The nation as a whole pays less for its cars. Okay?
Right.
It's always checks and balances with these things. You can't control the market. And that's why he's a fucking statist. You may not think it
he's going to tell Ford.
Right, he's going to tell Ford. He's going to prevent Ford from leaving. You know what my response would be? Leave. Who the fuck wants you?
Right.
Get the fuck out if you don't want to be here.
They're going there for the cheaper labor and the lack of, like, union
rules. That's like that whole thing, like, why would you hold on to a chick that doesn't want to be with you?
Right.
Why would you want to do that? Like, a couple of times a chick said to me, like, do this or else. See you later.
Yeah, goodbye.
See you. Who the fuck cares?
But
you know?
It's also just the issue that he's making it sound like jobs are being lost. And
he's lying.
Ford is actually, like I said, they're keeping the large vehicle makes it. So, and this is fact. You can check it out. Those jobs are fine. So they'll be making large vehicles instead of small vehicles.
So even
if the whole operation was going.
So he's lying. So there's two things wrong with it. He's lying. And even if he were telling the truth, the correct response is, just like with the gender gap, it's not true, but even if it were true, there's nothing government can do about it. Because it's a free market function. All right? Last thing I want to let people know about, I actually, Larry, just to abruptly cut, because we've got about 2 minutes left. Last night, and this is a shoot, last night I got a call from the Marist people who conduct the polls.
Oh, right.
So rather than hang up on them or fart on the phone like I usually do when pollsters call, this time I said, let me do my bid for Gary Johnson. I'm going to contribute to him polling at 15%.
Okay.
Just to show you how the game is rigged, they asked me, am I a registered voter? Am I over 18? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Would you vote for Clinton or Trump? And I said, Gary Johnson. Sir, Clinton or Trump? Neither. Sir, it's got to be Clinton or Trump? Neither. And the guy on the phone goes, well, you know what? I'll put down decline to answer. You wonder why it's rigged. First of all, why is 15% the cutoff? Second, even if it were the cutoff, why don't you include the fucking guy's name in the poll? Like, I even went to the trouble of saying Gary Johnson, and they wouldn't put it down. Then they asked me if I considered myself a Democrat, a Republican, or an Independent, and I said Libertarian. And they said, again, sir, Democratic, Republican, or Independent. I said Libertarian.
What's the point of doing?
And he goes, what if I put down Independent? I go, what if you put down Libertarian, like I'm telling you? And then he put down declined to answer again. Okay? It just goes to show you how this is rigged. And Larry, the last point about that poll, and this is again a shoot, they asked me how I would feel in a hypothetical matchup between, in New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio or Ivanka Trump. And then when I said I'd rather have large needles stuck through my eyes if either one of them ran, yeah, he said, well, what about a hypothetical matchup between Bill de Blasio, who's like a communist Democrat, and Donald Trump Jr.?
I'd rather be waterboarded.
Yeah. Do you realize what this means? And I don't know if the mainstream media knows this because of the questions that were being asked. That asshole Trump is planning on having his devil spawn be in politics too, so they can continue this racist bullshit for another 20, 30, 40 years.
In South State.
What the fuck?
You should have just hung up on it.
No, but I mean, listen, they got some intel out of it. We've got some intel that Trump is planning to have his fucking devil spawn run for New York City mayor.
Break out the post.
Now, fortunately, in New York City, like, Democrats outnumber Republicans 7-1 or whatever.
6-1.
So it's, like, horrible. They'd have an uphill thing. But, like, honestly, that we want to set up another lineage like the Clintons or the Bushes or the Kennedys or the fucking Daleys. By the way, if you've noticed, all families that spawn statists. All of them.
Which one is this? The one with the slick back hair or the taller
one? The one that looks more like him.
Oh, okay.
The guy who quotes... the guy who quotes the white supremacists on Twitter. The guy who made the Skittles joke. That's Donald Trump Jr.
I've lived in the city my whole life.
Chip off the old block.
You're going to win. Jesus Christ.
If we're lucky, like a huge boulder will fall on all their heads. Just like in Bugs Bunny or the Coyote.
Except Melania. I like her.
Melania, she's illegal alien bitch.
She's hot.
She should be deported. She was here under false pretenses before Donald married her.
True. And she's still hot. Who cares?
And diked out on film.
Yeah. So here's the good news. The next president's Hillary Clinton.
Anyway. Let's end this.
Yuck.
All right. After a very robust episode, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Peace, America.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.